It's good to be in God's house tonight. If you're visiting with us, we just want to welcome you. So glad you're here. We hope and pray and trust that you've already sensed the presence of the Almighty among us. Tonight, I just want to briefly share with you from a particular passage, well-known passage in the Christian church. But before I do that, I want to give you a little bit of a background of what's taking place. Very similar to what you've heard tonight in the testimonies. It's a story of a man who's at a particular point in his life. He's looking back in retrospect, and he had a lot of promise, a lot of things that God had spoken to him at a very early age. And all of a sudden, he finds himself, because of a difficult time he's going through, making some decisions. He has a lapse in his trust in God. He started out in the beginning trusting God, but he has a lapse in his trust in the Lord. And because of fear, because of difficulty, he starts to make these decisions, and he finds himself in a place where he ought not to be, doing things that he never thought he'd be doing, very similar to the testimonies we heard tonight. But thank God, he had the sense to cry out to the Lord, to look to God. And so it's at that point God comes and God delivers him, and as a result, he pens this very familiar psalm, Psalm 34, where he says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. He says, I will praise the Lord, another translation, and his praise will constantly be in my mouth. I will constantly speak his praise. He goes on to say, I will boast only in the Lord. He says, let all those who are helpless, all those who are helpless, in other words, those who have been humbled, all those who find themselves in a place of affliction, he says, let them take heart, be encouraged. He says, come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Come, let us magnify the Lord. Come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Tonight, I think of what my life used to be like before I came to Christ. Folks, I've got a reason to praise him. Hallelujah. I've got a reason to praise him. And I know there are many here tonight who would testify to the same thing. See, because prior to living for God, I was living in sin, which means I was living in rebellion to God. I was sleeping with my girlfriend at the time. I was disobedient, disrespectful to my parents, cursing all the time, had the most foul mouth. But yet, I was fearful about the future, like so many are today. So many are fearful looking on the world and the things that are coming on the world. When you see all the natural disasters, you see the economy the way it is, how it's so difficult to find a job. I think of so many students. I work with young people. I think of so many who are fearful about the future. They're about to graduate, and they're wondering if and when they're going to get a job. In this type of economy, I see so many flocking to bars, so many flocking to therapists because of the fear that they have concerning the days that we're living in. At that particular time, I was so fearful about the future, full of anger and full of rejection, empty on the inside, looking to this, looking to that, so many things, hoping that these things would satisfy, but yet I was still unwhole. I was not whole. I was unsatisfied. And finally, God heard my cry. I remember one night just after being so drunk, I was supposed to go partying with my friend, and being so drunk, I spent the whole night in the bathroom. I was living with my parents at the time, and I spent the whole night in the bathroom. We never got to go clubbing or partying or doing anything. It was my 18th birthday, and I'll never forget it. I spent the night with my head buried in the toilet bowl, spilling my guts, throwing up all night, thinking, this is adulthood, this is freedom, this is what I have to look forward to, and thinking this was it. And I remember thinking, God, there has to be more to life. There has to be more to life. And folks, there is more to life. Hallelujah. There is more to life. And so I go to college, and I meet a guy, and we become real good friends. And to make a long story short, he invites me over his house. I'm sitting in his living room, and his dad begins to share with me the good news of the gospel, just like you're hearing tonight, that there is more to life. And I remember as he was sharing, all of a sudden, pieces, missing pieces of the puzzle began to come together about life and what life is all about, and all the things that I had once believed in. And by the time he was done, I began to weep. I began to cry. And that day, I remember thinking to myself, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. And I remember hearing a voice in my mind tell me, no, don't do it. You've got your own religion. You've got your own belief system. Don't do it. And that man stood to his feet. He was a minister. And right in his living room, he said, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your personal savior, you can stand right now and he will change you. And I stood up that day. That was 24 years ago. And I prayed a simple prayer, folks, and I have never been the same since. He set me free from anger, fits of rage, rejection. He set me free from the fear of the future. He set me free from all these things that were binding me, that were about to destroy me. He set me free from those things, and he will set you free tonight. Hallelujah. Folks, I've got to praise the Lord. I've got to bless his holy name, because God has been good and because his mercy endures forever. The psalmist went on to say, I prayed to the Lord and he heard me. In other words, I sought the Lord. I began to inquire of him. I began to come to him with out of necessity, out of need. I began to come to him. I began to come to him based on the promises of his word. I began to hold to the promises of God, the truth that I was hearing. And he said, and he answered me. He freed me. Somebody say freed. Somebody say delivered. He delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. God can deliver you from fear tonight. He said, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. And I like that word, radiant. It means to beam. Your face will begin to beam. It will begin to shine. Hallelujah. Your face will become bright with joy. You'll all of a sudden begin to glow. People will notice something different about you. There'll be a change in the way you talk, the way you walk. There'll be a change about you. Folks will notice it because something has happened to you, because you've had a supernatural encounter with a God, hallelujah, who is able to change you and create you, recreate you into the person he destined you to be from the very beginning. The psalmist continues to write, and he says, no shadow of shame will darken their faces. In other words, you'll never have to blush again because of shame. The shame of sin, the shame of their lifestyle, the shame of what you've become. You'll never have to be ashamed again. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. God delivers from shame. He says, in desperation, hallelujah, in desperation, he cried unto the Lord. He said, I prayed, and the Lord listened, and he saved me from all my troubles. Do you know God is able to save you from trouble? Folks, there is good news tonight, and that good news is a message for everyone. The Bible tells us that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and power. And then Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. They took him and put him to death by crucifying him. But God raised him to life 3 days later. And this same Jesus is ordained of God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. What is sin tonight? Sin is choosing to live for ourselves rather than God. We sin when we ignore God, break his laws, and do things our own way. Sin destroys relationships with friends, with family, and with God. Sin brings misery, it brings pain, it brings suffering, and it brings death. Because of sin, we were alienated, we were separated from God. But the good news is that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever chooses to believe in him And that word believe means to cling to rely on, to trust in him. Hallelujah. Will not perish, but have eternal life. Tonight you can have eternal life. You can walk out of here with eternal life within you. What is that eternal life? It's the life of God. It's the life of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God coming to live on the inside of you and transforming you from the inside out. It's like the young people shared here tonight. It's not the natural man trying to change. It's not me making a New Year's resolution that I'm going to stop cursing, that I'm going to stop drinking, that I'm no longer going to look at those pornographic sites, that I'm no longer going to beat my wife. It's not me making promises anymore, but it's a supernatural power from heaven that comes and changes me from the inside out. Hallelujah. And just for the record, I don't beat my wife. I never have. Hallelujah. And I don't look at porn sites either. Because God, hallelujah, is sufficient. He satisfies. The scriptures say, God blesses those who realize their need of him. In other words, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who recognize their need of him. For the kingdom of heaven is given to them. Hallelujah. The scripture goes on to say in verse 7 that the angel of the Lord is a guard. Hallelujah. He surrounds and defends all who fear him, those who revere him, those who trust in him, those who stand in awe of him. He sends his angels to encamp around us. Hallelujah. Tonight I think of a testimony of a young lady that was shared with me, that was given to me. She says, when I was 15 years old, she said, I was raised in the church. I went to high school. I had a lot of friends. I found my way into the popular crowd. My friends meant the world to me. Their acceptance of me was more important to me than the things of God at the time. And she says, they had a major influence on my life. They weren't Christians, but they weren't that bad either. Some were graduating, getting ready for college, auditioning for shows. They were doing good things. We would hang out and cut class sometimes, get high, but it was never anything too serious, I thought. One day we were at 125th Street in the train station, waiting on the train. We were on our way to the movies after a school talent show. I was talking to a friend and he began to change positions with me. I didn't know he was moving me to a place of safety. The next 5 to 10 minutes seemed like an eternity. As I looked up, about 50 guys covered the platform. And as I scoured the crowd, I saw bats, sticks, nameplates, and meat hooks in their hands. One guy shouted, "Praise be to Allah." And the crowd rushed past me as I stood on the subway steps. My friends were all scattered. Some ran up the stairs, some jumped on the tracks. Everyone was trying to get away. In the midst of all that chaos, the one thing I remembered was feeling like God had me in a glass bubble. I could see everything, but not even one person bumped into me. He protected me. It was the strangest thing I had ever experienced. After the dust settled, I found out that the young man who had moved me to safety was found in a deserted part of the station. He was beaten mercilessly. I went to see him in an ICU, and I couldn't find him until someone walked me to his bedside and mentioned his name. The only thing I recognized was his hands. I began to cry. Out of all of us, he had the most going for him. He had a full scholarship to Howard. He was an up-and-coming artist. His artwork was being featured in the Brooklyn Academy, Brooklyn Museum of Art. But all of that meant nothing because he, at the moment, had eternity to face. And I had never told him about Christ. The thought of him going through all that suffering and then having to suffer for eternity was unthinkable. She said, I prayed with him and told him he could accept God in his heart. I started to sing a song. And she said, and his respirator started buzzing and flashing, and I panicked and ran out. The nurse ran in and said he was all right. He was just taking a breath on his own. 2 weeks later, I found out he died. And it was in all the newspapers, and everyone was talking about it. She said, as for me, God used his death as a wake-up call. Eternity is more important than friends and acceptance. I had to re-examine my life, my relationship with God, and what I was doing with my future. And she goes on to say, God knows how to get our attention. Folks, he loves you tonight. And he knows everything that you've been facing, everything you've been going through, everything that's happening. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him, those who trust in him. Hallelujah. The scripture says, fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him, those who revere him, those who honor him will have all that they need. He supplies all our needs, folks. Even the strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Can I get a witness in here? Hallelujah. Come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, the psalmist goes on to write. He says, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Do you know he gives abundant life? The Bible says the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. In other words, turn to God and repent. That's what the word repent means. It means to turn to God and in so doing, turn from evil by his grace and by his power, by trusting in him. When you turn to God, he enables you to turn from evil. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their cries for help. When you cry out to God for help, if you say, God, I can't change myself, would you change me tonight? You'll have an opportunity to do that. He will change you. He'll answer that cry. The scripture says, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Somebody say all. He rescues them from all their troubles. Hallelujah. Folks, God sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. What does that mean? It means this, that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone and a new life has begun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Lord knows everything about you. He's even numbered the hairs on your head. The hairs that you do have and those that you don't. He's numbered them all. And the word of God says, the Lord is close. He's close to the brokenhearted. In other words, those who are of a contrite heart. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And the word crushed here means to be crushed with a sorrow, to be broken with a sorrow for sin. Because of the wrong things you've done, you've become sorrowful. And you recognize that Christ died for your sins. He took the rap for you so that you could have eternal life, so that you could be forgiven tonight, so that you could have a new life tonight. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil that we have done in our bodies. The day will surely come when God, by Jesus Christ, will judge everyone's secret life. He will give eternal life to those who persist in doing what is good, seeking after the glory and honor and immortality that God offers. But he will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves, who refuse to obey the truth, and who practice evil deeds. There will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on sinning, but there will be glory and honor and peace from God for all who do good. Tonight, if you say, Pastor, I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of going at this on my own. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I want to know tonight that I'm forgiven. I want to know tonight that I'm on my way to heaven. I want a new life in Christ. If he's offering this new life, if he paid the price with his very blood, with his very life for me, so that I could be forgiven, I want to receive his offer of forgiveness tonight. Would you pray for me? If that's you tonight, would you unashamedly raise your hand all over this place tonight? Raise your hand tonight all over this place. I see that hand all over this house. Unashamedly raise your hand up in the balcony as well. Raise your hand tonight. Raise your hand. Join these whose hands are going up all over this place. Up in the balcony, I see those hands. Raise them high. Raise them high tonight. Maybe some others will be encouraged as well to raise their hand. You can put your hand down. If you are backslidden, which means maybe you once walked with God, like the young people shared here tonight, but you drifted from him, you turned from him, and you say, Pastor, I need to get back to God. I'm tired of living apart from him. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I need God tonight. I want to repent. I want to turn to God. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight all over this place? Amen. Join these. Up in the balcony, is there anyone? I see those hands up there. God sees those hands. You put your hand down. If you're here for the very first time, maybe you've never been in a church like this before, but something inside of you is telling you this is for you. Like 24 years ago when I sat in that living room, I knew that what that pastor was saying was for me. I knew that what I was hearing was the truth. The puzzles came together so clearly, and I saw Christ on the cross for me. But yet there was a voice, and I know it today now to be the voice of the devil that was telling me, no, don't do it, don't do it. He was trying to keep me from the inheritance that God was wanting to give me. He was wanting to drag me to hell with himself. But I thank God that supernaturally that day I found myself standing on my feet and answering that invitation. And I prayed a prayer, folks. And tonight you can pray that prayer as well. We're going to stand in a moment, and everyone who raised their hand, first timers, those who are backslidden, doesn't matter who you are, I want to invite you to get out of your seat. Come join me at the front of this church. And we're going to pray a simple prayer asking Christ to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to change us. Let's stand quietly and reverently all over this house. Here on the main floor, up in the balcony, step out of your seat. Come to the front and join me here. Join me here. Those who raise their hand, this is your night for miracle. This is your night of freedom. You will never be the same, my friend. You will never be the same again. Tonight, if you invited someone, I want you to lean over to that person and offer to go with them if they want to come forward. The Spirit of God is drawing. He's wooing tonight. Hallelujah. 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 The devil was going to destroy some of your lives tonight, but God is going to rewrite your destiny. He's going to rewrite your family tree. Hallelujah. He's invading your family tree tonight. Some of you are going to be the first ones saved in your family like I was 24 years ago. And he's going to use you as a channel of blessing to bring Christ into your home, to bring Christ into your family. Hallelujah. We're going to worship and sing. Those up in the balcony, go to either exit, come down. We're going to wait for you. If you're in the annex, you come and we'll wait for you as well. And we're going to pray in a moment in Jesus' name. Folks, the Lord loves you. Jesus loves you. Look up here for a moment. You need to know that he loves you so much. And he proved it by going to a cross and paying the price for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. And tonight, you're not coming to join a church. You're not coming here to vote for Jesus. You're coming to give your life completely to him. You're coming to surrender your life to Jesus, to God, your maker. You're coming back to the one who created you, and you're acknowledging your need of him and your desire for him to come in and to take complete control. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, just acknowledging that you need God, that you're a sinner, and that you want to receive his forgiveness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, when you pray, is going to come and he's going to live on the inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And he's going to begin to change you little by little from the inside out. You're going to begin to see things differently. You're going to begin to see things from God's perspective, from an eternal perspective. God's going to use the scriptures, his word, and he's going to begin to teach you what it means to walk with him. And as well, in heaven, the record of all the wrong things you have done will be completely wiped clean. There will no longer be a record in heaven of the wrongs you've done. Hallelujah. Tonight, would you raise your hands with me, bow your head, and pray with me tonight from your heart. Make this prayer your own. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge tonight that I am a sinner. I'm so sorry for my sins, for the wrong things I've done. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. I ask that you would come and cleanse me, forgive me, come into my life, be my Savior, my Lord, my God. I give you complete control from this moment on. I acknowledge that I'm living for you. I renounce everything of evil. The devil no longer has a claim on my life. From this moment on, I am forgiven. I am a citizen of heaven, and I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Say this with me. I believe that God has heard my prayer. And tonight, I know that I am forgiven, that I am right with God, and that I am rolling with Jesus. Put your hands together and give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are free tonight. You are free. And when the Son of God sets you free, you are really free. So you don't have to go back to pornography. You don't have to go back to alcohol. You don't have to go back to cigarettes. You don't have to go back to the bars. You don't have to go back to these things. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go back anymore. Because sin no longer will have dominion on you when Christ lives in you. Hallelujah.